If you'd like to open up your Bibles again to Psalm 23. And let's pray before we begin. Father, thank you that you speak through the Bible. Thank you that you have revealed yourself clearly and you speak to our hearts now as we read your words. And as we hear you, soften our hearts so that we trust you and praise you as we should. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Psalm 23 is probably the most famous psalm. But as you hear it, it can sound a bit too rosy and comfortable, can't it? Almost as if it was written in an ivory tower, far from the troubles of everyday life. Was this a man who really knew the frustration and hardship of everyday human life? Did he know about injustice and sickness? Does the author of this psalm know the horror of losing a loved one? Had he faced death itself? Well, the answer is yes, he had. Just think who this David is who wrote this psalm. A soldier, a general, a king of Israel. And although God blessed his life greatly, he suffered greatly too. Several times he had to flee assassination attempts. And during his lifetime, his best friend and three of his sons all died. Murder, sickness, warfare. He'd seen it all. And we don't know at what point in David's life he wrote this psalm, but it became a popular song to sing. Perhaps because, despite the context of enemies and danger and death, David expresses confidence in God, whom he calls his shepherd. And that's a confidence we should copy, because God is our shepherd too, no matter what we may go through. And I've got two questions for you this morning from this Song of David. The first question arises from verses 1 to 4, and it's this: will you trust the shepherd? Will you trust the shepherd? Hang on a moment. It's a bit bizarre, isn't it, to call God your shepherd? I mean, how can you reduce the almighty creator to a common farm worker? Well, for a start, the idea of shepherd doesn't say everything about the infinite God. But it does point out some true things about it. And in David's time, kings were often called shepherds. They would provide for their people, guide them to act rightly, and they would defend them from enemies. And that's exactly what God does. He is our King Shepherd. And if God's the shepherd, then what does that make us, his people? That's right. His sheep. A flock of sheep. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, "We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." In other words, we are as dependent on God as sheep are on their shepherd. Without God, we would starve. Without God, we would blindly wander into danger, and we would be easy meat for the enemies who would prey on us. So what should we do? Trust him. Trust him. Will you trust the shepherd? Well, this psalm encourages us to do so. And David shows us three ways that we can trust our shepherd. Three ways that God cares for us. The first is in verses 1 and 2. God is our provider. God is our provider. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. If God is your shepherd, you can have total assurance that God will provide all that you need. You shall lack nothing. Well, let's stop there a second. One massive mistake that people often make is to read the Bible and instantly assume that whatever it says applies directly to them. We know that God provided for David, but does he promise to provide for you and me today? Well, keep a finger in this page and turn forward with me to Philippians chapter 4. And if you've got a church Bible, that's page 1181. Philippians chapter 4. And this is a letter that was written to followers of Jesus in the ancient city of Philippi. And if you're a Christian, a follower of Jesus, then any general promise to Christians here applies to you as well. So look down at verse 19 of Philippians chapter 4. My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Do read around that later, but in the context, these Christians had been very generous and had as a church given to help the spread of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And this promise is for people like that. Back to Psalm 23. Who shall not be in want? The sheep of God. Those who follow the shepherd. Those who serve the shepherd king. And if you're one of those, then the shepherd loves you. He leads you to pasture. He provides you with exactly what you need. God is our provider. The problem is that we so often don't want what he provides. Perhaps you want a new and easier job to do, but God provides you instead with loads of opportunities to serve him in your current job. Opportunities to grow in holiness. Perhaps you want better physical health, but God provides you instead with time to spend with him and get to know him better. Perhaps you hunger for a close relationship, and you're tempted to bond with someone outside the people of God, outside God's flock, someone who doesn't follow the shepherd. But he always gives us a family of other Christians who love us and care for us. We needn't believe the world's lie that if we're unmarried, we're alone and solitary. You see, no matter what you feel you lack, don't overlook the gracious gifts of God. He provides, just not always what we think we need. And look at verse 2. This is exactly what a sheep needs. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He brings back my life. Thirsty sheep wandering through an arid wilderness are brought to springs of water. He gives us all we need for life. Will you trust the shepherd as he does that? Of course, life would be much easier if the sheep never wandered off the path into danger. But the Bible says, as we've just been singing, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We're so stupid. We so often think that we know better than our shepherd. We think we know better than God, our maker. So we pay no heed to him, and we ignore the shepherd's instructions. Well, thank God for the middle of verse 3. He guides me in paths of righteousness. And that's the second thing about God being our shepherd. God doesn't only provide for us, he also guides his sheep. God is our guide. God is our guide. And there are two ways in which God guides his sheep. Firstly, he commands us, and we must obey him. And secondly, he corrects us. And that's greatly reassuring. Let me explore those two a little bit more, because it's so easy to misunderstand how God guides his sheep. So firstly, he commands us. We might like to think that God guides us in paths of righteousness by giving us a hunch or a whopping great big sign in the sky. Now, he might occasionally choose to use such things, on the odd occasion, to give us a little shove in the right direction. But the way that God commands his sheep is through his word, the Bible. Just look back a couple of psalms, three psalms I think, to Psalm 19. Psalm 19 verse 7. This is just an illustration of how important the word of God is. The law of the Lord is referred to in Psalm 19 verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Back to Psalm 23. In verse 3 there, God guides us in paths of righteousness by his word. But paths there refer to well-worn tracks. So no need to go off the beaten track. Nothing strange or new. Simply what has always been right. What for eternity has been in accord with God's holy and good character. God guides us in virtuous, righteous, long-established highways. And wonderfully, you and I are never left wondering which track is the right one. 2 Timothy 3 verse 17 says that Scripture thoroughly equips us for doing every good work. The Bible covers every circumstance, every path we may need to take. So keep to the shepherd's instructions, and you will never put a foot wrong. Two short points about that. Firstly, pray for wisdom. And secondly, ask others for wisdom. You see, wisdom is quite important. It's knowing God's commands and knowing how they apply to the circumstances you find yourself in. Pray for that kind of wisdom and ask others for that kind of wisdom so that you would know how God's commands apply to your situation. Guidance isn't rocket science, though. It all revolves around God's word, the Bible. That's how the shepherd guides his sheep. And his sheep must simply apply it to each situation. Now, some sheep come to a fork in the tracks. And they stop dead. Because both ways seem right. And you can picture it, this whole flock of sheep suddenly concertinaing up. As there's one sheep at the front. Isn't quite sure where to go. Now, other sheep may overtake and press on ahead. But they might later come to a halt and gaze back behind them and wonder if they've taken the right path. Well, that's just an analogy for how some people face those difficult decisions in life. Some hesitate, some just press on ahead without too much thought and wonder later on. Well, what do we do if we're not sure? Well, this is where God's second way of guiding his sheep is so wonderful. We've seen that God commands us clearly. But at the end of verse 4, David says this, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The shepherd has a staff, like a walking stick. And it's very useful for pushing and guiding stray sheep back on track. Now maybe you think you're following the shepherd's commands, but you're not sure. You still wonder if you're on the right track. Well, rest assured, if God wants you to change direction, he will make it happen. Now, he doesn't have a literal staff, but he does steer stray sheep. Sometimes through a sharp prod, sometimes through discipline, sometimes through learning from our mistakes. And sometimes he closes the pathway in front of us. And we're in no doubt that the other way is the only way we can go. But rest assured, the shepherd guides his sheep. He commands us and he corrects us. God always guides his sheep in paths of righteousness. And the end of verse 3 tells us why he does this so consistently. It is for his name's sake. It's so that we acknowledge that he is love and justice and faithfulness himself. God guides us so that we can see that God is not an absent shepherd or an uncaring shepherd or an unfair shepherd. There's no chance that God will not guide you. His name is riding on it. The question is, will you trust the shepherd to guide you? Will you submit every decision to the Bible? Will you ask others for the wisdom to apply Scripture to your situation? And will you confidently step on, putting one foot in front of the other, knowing that as you trust God and as you obey him, if he wants to correct you, if you've got something wrong, he will do so. He will correct you, and you can trust him. Perhaps the most troubling issue at heart is that we're actually sheep who don't particularly like to listen to our shepherd. We love to go where we want to. We find it tedious to read the Bible. We'd much rather be soothed or entertained. So let's pray for a heart that longs to be on the right track. Let's pray for an insatiable hunger for the Word of God. And you will be led in paths of righteousness. And that's marvelous. That said, some righteous paths can be painful or even perilous. Look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see here that even if God leads us through dangerous places, he protects his flock. And that's the third way that God cares for his sheep. He not only provides for us, he not only guides us, he also protects us. That's why David can say, I fear no evil. Now verse 4 is often quoted at funerals because it refers to the shadow of death. But the footnote is helpful here. Death here could be used in a poetic way to describe a deep, dark valley, the darkest ravine. And what would you find in deep, dark ravines in ancient Palestine? Wild beasts? Robbers? Mobile phones? And some even thought they might find evil spirits. Very, very dangerous places. The point is that the path along which God leads us can be very hazardous, but there's no need to fear. David is unafraid because his shepherd is with him, no matter what. And shepherds at that time were equipped with two things, one of which we've already seen, the staff. The other thing was a dirty great cudgel, a rod, with which to beat away any robbers or wild animals that might prey on the flock. Shepherds would fight for their sheep. They put their lives on the line. These sheep are protected. Now, God doesn't have a literal staff, but your shepherd, the Lord Almighty, does protect his sheep. Protects you from evil, such that whatever he may allow to happen to you will not destroy you. Instead, Romans 8, verse 28 says this, God works in all things for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And what is that purpose? Verse 29 says this, for those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. So in all things, painful or joyful, the most wonderful thing is happening to us, God's sheep. The shepherd is making us more like Jesus, his Son. Far from being harmed, we're being recreated in all things. And in case we fear the shadows and threats and pain that we face, we'll look closely at the language of Psalm 23, verse 4. In the very place where it's toughest, where evil is present, David says not just God is with me, but you are with me. When danger is close, God is closer. Just look at all the you language here. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Suddenly David's talking to God. Your shepherd knows you and loves you and will never leave your side. He's close enough to talk to you at all times. You have deep personal care. Day in, day out. Watching over you, whatever you face, you can trust God to protect you. But what happens if you don't trust God like that? Well, I think you'll probably turn to money. That's what everyone else does. It seems that financial security is our number one comfort blanket. Don't get me wrong, storing up some provision for the future is definitely wise. But we're so often filled with fear and distrust in God that we hoard and hoard different things for our future security. Instead of trusting God to defend us and being generous with our various resources to those who need it, we trust the power of our wallets to protect us. But the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Our protection can be the very thing that we should fear. Instead, will you trust the shepherd to protect you? Let's stop here for a second and ponder where we're up to. Can we have the diagram, please? Brilliant, thank you. As God's sheep, we are in such a great situation. We're pastured in a succulent meadow which is bounded by three wonderful hedges in which God shepherds us. Firstly, he provides for us. Secondly, he guides us. And thirdly, he protects us. Will you trust the shepherd as he does each of these things in your life? He supplies your needs, he directs you, and he shields you. Trust him. It's quite amazing, isn't it, that God would treat us that way. After all, we are disobedient sheep. We've acted in a criminal way towards God. We've behaved most days of our life, if we're honest, every day of our life, as if we're the boss. God says we're rebels against him, enemies, in fact. We deserve execution and judgment, not this kind of care. So how come God is our shepherd? How come he continues to love us like this? Well, the answer is in Jesus. The answer is in Jesus. In John 10, verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus, God himself, our shepherd, laid his own life on the line, giving it up for rebellious sheep like you and me. He's so committed to our protection from the judgment that we rightly deserve that he died on the cross. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. And now even Satan himself cannot accuse us, because Jesus took our sin and paid for it fully. Not only that, but Jesus rose again from the dead. So even in the darkest valley, even one that may lead to death, the sheep have nothing to fear from even death itself. Because with the resurrected Jesus as your shepherd, he will provide you with a life like his, resurrection life, which is eternal. Or will you trust that good shepherd? If you don't, you won't have everything provided. You won't know how to live rightly. You won't be protected from all evil. And your sins won't have been paid for. It is vital, isn't it, to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your shepherd. Well, for the last 5 minutes, let's look at verses 5 and 6 together. A change of image now, and a change of question. Here it's not a matter of trusting God as shepherd. The question is this: do you praise God, your eternal host? Look at verse 5. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." This is a picture of a lavish feast. Now, I know some of you may have eaten at some very posh restaurants indeed, some of the best food in the world. And you probably have seen a royal banquet on TV where top celebrity chefs cook for Her Majesty the Queen. But this is God cooking for David and showering him with luxuries, like oil on the head. Doesn't seem particularly appetizing to us today, but it was a popular sweet-smelling lotion at parties in David's time. Lavish pampering, the star treatment. David's wine cup overflows. God is generous to the extreme. He says, "When?" as God is pouring in the wine. That's quite enough, thank you. "When?" But God keeps going, "When? When?" Wine overflowing. God doesn't hold back. Now, some people read this verse as if it were true for every Christian in this life. They say, trust in Jesus and you'll be rich in every imaginable way. And that's called the prosperity gospel. And it's not true. The New Testament shows that even Paul the Apostle was often hungry and poor. So let's beware mapping this psalm straight onto our lives without first thinking about who it was talking about. It's King David, God's chosen king. He lived in God's chosen land, the promised land, ruling over God's chosen people. The pattern of his life was seeing God's victories over his enemies, of prosperity. He sat down after the battles where the Lord had clearly fought for his people. And David's enemies were in chains, forced to look on as David and his court ate the spoils of war. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. So that was then. Who does it apply to now? Does God have a chosen king today? Who has such a banquet being prepared for them today? Whose enemies are being subjected, being made a footstool for his feet? Answer: Jesus, the shepherd king, who was born in the royal line of David. So when Jesus' enemies are all defeated, and when the banquet is ready, then verse 5 will happen again. And God tells us in the Bible that not only will it be the banquet of all banquets, but that everyone is invited. You're invited to the most important party of all time, heaven itself. All you must do is recognize Jesus as your king, and you're quite welcome. Now look at verse 6. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This love and goodness of God, we've seen it already in these three things. He provides for us. He guides us. He protects us. He is so good and loving towards his sheep. Well, it's not a short-lived love and goodness. I've got a quick visual illustration here. This wonderful triangular meadow that we're in doesn't exist just in this moment, but extends back into the past. God has always loved his sheep like that, and extends into the future as well. God always will. God will love and protect and guide and provide richly and lavishly for his sheep on into eternity. God's generosity towards his banquet guests just never stops. So nothing beats that. Nothing. If God is going to be a host like that, then how could we fail to praise him? It's so often that we let the frustrations and disappointments of this life rob us of the hope of knowing God, our generous King. I had a friend whose experience was just that. And he stopped one day and thought, what am I getting wrong? I know how great God is. When I remember what he's done for me, that he gave his own life for me, and he's promised all these wonderful things, why am I not filled with praise? God deserves it. So he resolved to tell himself the gospel every morning. Every time he got up, put his feet on the floor, sat on the edge of the bed, and just preach it to himself and say, God loves you, even though you've turned against him. He has paid the price for you. And he will provide, he will guide, he will protect me forever. And I'll know his generous provision on into eternity. Oh God, I praise you. Well, let's resolve to do something like that, shall we? Let's remind ourselves every day of what God has done for us and give him the praise that he deserves. He's paid for us in death. He lives with us in life, in every moment. And he'll give us life like we've never known it before in heaven. Doesn't he deserve our praise and adoration every day? Let's pray. Lord, please help us to trust you as our shepherd. Thank you that you provide for us. Thank you that you guide us and you protect us. You are such a wonderful shepherd. We praise you for the promise that you will be our eternal host. Your provision for us will be lavish forever. Lord Jesus, thank you for making all of this possible, for dying on the cross for your rebellious sheep. And thank you that in your deep love, you're with us always. In your name we pray. Amen.